One of the best things about the 21st century has been the variety of creative ways radio has evolved.
Really? That's one of the best things? It's not been the best century, then.
It's been slim. But the legacy of Marconi is in good hands with Alex Lefchik and the Midweek Drivettes. So we got that going for us.
Which is nice.
She has returned. Who's returned, you might well say? Well, only the best sleep expert you could ever wish to actually shake a pastel of sheep at as you're sort of counting them in all sorts of ways. It's Stephanie Romyshevsky. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you doing?
Great. This is, of course, our first connection, I think, of 2021, continuing year of experiences and such like. So great stuff there. And we also welcome to this particular little feature, one of our ACE Level 2 journalism and English students, of course. It's Rebecca Bond. How are you, Rebecca?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. How's everyone?
Marvellous. This is good news. Stephanie, let's not beat around the bush. Rebecca has got questions from her father that she desperately wants to sort of throw to your good self. So I think, you know, we just go straight into that, if that's okay. So yeah, Rebecca, over to you.
I mean, before I go into asking about, you know, certain sleep habits, I'd love to know a bit about what Sleepyhead Clinic is about, you know, for any listeners that might not have heard about it and the sort of things that you offer. Could you talk us a bit through that?
Sure. So I run something called Sleepyhead Clinic. I also run something else called Sleepyhead Program. So Sleepyhead Clinic is all online these days, as so many of us are. And basically, it's one-to-one sessions with me, getting you through a course of treatment to help with mainly insomnia, but also sleep problems that do tend to give us insomnia and sort of sleep-related issues like that. A lot of what I do is based on cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, so CBTI we call it. It's not the same as what you would get for, say, depression or anxiety. A lot of people get that very confused. And so I spend a lot of my time with self-referral patients. And then Sleepyhead Program is an actual online course that you don't need me for, that I spend a lot of time on because I build a lot of content for that. Always updating it because absolutely everybody is different and you never know if you're going to be able to help somebody. And I spend a lot of time doing lots of Facebook lives now where lots of people get to ask lots of questions. So essentially like this, lots of questions coming from people and helping them to help themselves. Lots of re-education for the media. So I do a lot of media work with the BBC and various other companies to help promote really healthy, positive information around our sleep, because I think now that it's become this big zeitgeisty area, we can get a bit frightened of the information that we hear, which then affects our sleep, ironically. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing right now, plus a lot of NHS work and some academic research. But yeah, that's it.
Amazing. And it sounds like so many people would benefit from that, because personally, I know many people who suffer from, you know, all these different forms of sleep issues. And when I spoke to my dad that I'd be talking to you today, he was like, oh, can you ask her? He had this burning question. He struggles a lot to get to sleep. And that's just the beginning of the issues, because once he is asleep, he then has quite broken sleep. He wakes up in the night. He then can't get back to sleep. Is this quite a common issue? And like, how can you deal with that?
Yeah. So how long has he had that for?
Do you know what? I didn't ask, but he's been complaining about it for a while. Almost as if it's been since I was a child, maybe. So honestly, it could be his whole life.
Problem, yeah. So that is what you just described there is pretty much chronic insomnia. So somebody who either struggles to get to sleep, or somebody who struggles to maintain it, or somebody who has both, which sounds like your dad has both. So we are taught in society to do all these things to help with our sleep, like stop drinking caffeine, have a hot warm bath, relax, relax, relax. And unfortunately, there's no evidence behind those things to help with a chronic habitual sleep disorder. The problem is that there is all these things that we want to do because we want to fix it in 24 hours. So I'm sure your dad's been down this road of, you know, maybe trying to lie in or going to bed early or basically diluting his sleep opportunity in order to try to fix this problem. The irony is, to fix what he has, you actually need to concentrate the sleep opportunity. So I would say to him in the first instance, I want you to get up at the same time every day, even if you've had the most rubbish sleep ever. I want you to give yourself permission to go to bed later when you can't sleep. So you're not even going to enter the bedroom until you're literally nodding in the chair. And that could be quite late to start with. I won't let him spend any time in the bedroom if he's not sleeping. So if he wakes in the night and he's like, oh my God, here we go again, I'd be encouraging him to leave the bedroom, because that association between being awakened in the bedroom is a powerful one. So we don't really want to add to that. And then, as you can imagine, if he's doing those things every single night, he's going to start incurring sleepiness. So he's going to get really knackered because he's doing a lot of work for me. And so the last thing I'd get him to do is not compensate for that sleepiness by napping during the day. And so eventually, if you can imagine, you can't force your body to sleep. You just can't. But what you can force your body to do is be awake and not allow yourself to fall asleep in times where you know you should be awake. And by doing that very rigidly, he will be able to get rid of that sleep problem. And if that alone doesn't get rid of his sleep problem, then he does need a bit more support. And that's where I come in with a bit more of a bespoke. It's effectively what I've just told you, but what we do is take somebody's sleep diary and start manipulating their actual schedule in order to get their sleep quality back and then their duration. So his problem is a common one. It is not something that can't be sorted, but due to the lack of education in our society, it doesn't make me very surprised that he's had this potentially for his entire life.
That's such interesting information though, because as you say, I think you do assume, you know, try going to bed earlier or compensating for lost sleep, but I think it's interesting to be educated on that. As you say, I didn't know that at all, and I don't think he knew that it's an issue that could be sorted. I think he's accepted, oh, I'm not a good sleeper. And it's a shame, because the other night my mum, she sleeps really well and she's so excited to go to bed. You know, she loves after a long day just get into bed, have a good sleep, wake up refreshed. My dad just went, oh, I hate going to sleep. And that's really sad, because it's really difficult for him to sleep, and that should be, you know, winding down the relaxing part of the day. So I would definitely get him to have a listen to this once it goes up live, and I will get him to have a check out on your website. Is there a website we can put out there to have a look at?
So sleepyheadclinic.co.uk is a contact specifically with me, and Sleepyhead Program, if you want to do it on your own, sleepyheadprogram.com.
Fantastic. I'll get him to check it out.
Oh, thank you.
Clearly, Stephanie, as I've said, you're just a super heroine when it comes to the sleep issue, which is wonderful. I love the line, a bad night's sleep is actually good for you, which also emerges in the recent Sleepyhead Clinic side of things. So, you know, you take that lemon of a bad night's sleep and you make it into lemonade.
Absolutely.
So we need to ask the question, of course, Stephanie, how is your canine friend?
Oh, Pasco's doing really well. In fact, I think that all our dogs are going to be really upset when we go back to work and we do things normally, because obviously they've got used to having us all the time. But that has made him a little bit sassy. So he definitely needs to learn that it's not all about him.
And of course, I mean, you've alluded to the fact that a lot of your stuff is now online. I mean, we're talking regularly about how when we actually get to midsummer, shall we say, and it's all in the past, etc. Actually, there's a lot that you can actually do. I mean, this, for instance, stuff, you just think back in the day, we used to do our sort of slots on a Thursday morning. I used to phone you up. You used to be there in the studio, etc. We couldn't see you. You couldn't see us. That might be a blessing in disguise, of course. But in terms of the whole sort of sequence, you know, is this something where you think actually technology can actually help? Do you think, yeah, this must be what those astronauts must be having?
Yeah, I suppose. I just worry about the amount of screen time that we're all having. But you're absolutely right. I think we've learned new ways of working, but also it's taught us probably that, you know, we do need more time off screens and doing things in person as well. But maybe we're starting to realize the things that we can do like this versus the things that actually as humans we need in person. And maybe that will help us, because I think before this whole lockdown thing, technology was really fast paced, but our brains hadn't quite caught up with it. Maybe this has given us a chance to really understand what we have.
There you go. Absolutely. I also like the line that's recently been cropped up, change your physical state, change your mental state, and boost the quality of your sleep in doing so. So, I mean, you can just go to Sleepyhead Clinic and just find little nuggets of wisdom. It's across the base. It's just wonderful. It's just impressive. Stephanie, do you want to put any questions to Rebecca about how she's been coping as a level 2 student at the University of Lincoln with the whole sort of process? Over to you, Steph.
Sure. Yeah. What I would love to ask is, how do you feel the screen time has affected you? Because obviously it's very different from what you're used to.
I think it's really, really easy to fall into the trap of checking your phone at night before you sleep, or, you know, falling into the trap of using it at night, waking up in the morning and the first thing you do being checking your phone. So I've been trying to get into the habit of putting my phone down an hour before I plan to sleep. I read a book or, you know, magazine, anything just to wind down. And in the morning, I try to do the same, whether that be reading if I get a lay-in or if I need to get up, I just don't touch it, get ready, then give myself that screen time. Because I do find that, because the blue, is it the blue light that keeps you awake? I read something about that, and that's what I've been trying to avoid.
Yeah. So it's although we call it blue light, it's actually in all of our lights. So the light that we have now, it's just that spectrum within the white light that is blue, that makes up the white light. So it's in all of our light. It's very unusual to come across light that doesn't have that part of the light in it, unless it's been actively taken away. So you're absolutely right. But it's not just about the light exposure, which of course is very influential on your sleep-wake regulation. It's also about that stimulation. Your brain is like, oh, she's looking on her phone. It must be daytime. She must want to work. I will increase her cortisol to get her all energized. So it's not just about that light exposure. It is all about the other chemicals that seem to get affected by us, our habits, basically.
And can that vary from person to person? Because I do find that if I turn my phone screen off, TV screen off an hour before or so, it does help. But for my mum, she will fall asleep with the TV on. She tends to go to bed, have the TV in the background, not watching it as such, just having it there. Is that bad for health? Is that something you'd discourage?
I think if it's not broken, don't fix it. Like, I feel like, yes, unfortunately, some of the things that help us feel like we're relaxed and have a nice sleep onset, so being able to get off to sleep, if they're still on during the night, they're then going to affect the quality of your sleep. So light isn't, it's not just about what it's doing to you before you go to bed. It's actually more influential. If you've got light on whilst you're trying to sleep, that's going to stop you from going into really deep, good quality sleep. So it's difficult to say. I mean, I wouldn't want to take anything that people do away from them, because that could also affect their sleep. But at the same time, it's just being a bit mindful that if she wants to boost the quality of her sleep, then maybe take that away a little bit. Not completely, just making sure that as before she falls asleep, that's gone, so that her mind knows it's a nice pitch black room. It's now sleep time.
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't think that would work for me. If I had a TV on in the background, I don't have a TV in my room, but if I did, I don't think I could concentrate. I think that really takes away from, you know, the winding down, the not focusing on anything, which really helps me sleep. Can I throw another question at you, sleep related, if that's okay? So I find that if I do the same thing every night, you know, say I go to sleep at the same time, turn my phone screen off at the same time, some mornings I'll wake up feeling really groggy, and like this morning I woke up, I felt really energized, I didn't struggle getting out of bed, you know, I was ready by 9. And what causes that? I felt really awake this morning and did nothing different. Do you know what causes that at all?
So essentially, there are so many variables that change within your body and externally every single day. There is absolutely no way you can control your sleep to that extent. And this is the problem we're seeing now, is that people are becoming obsessed with it and not understanding that you can have some control. And yes, we can resolve the problems when they occur in probably very different ways to what most people realize, but you're never going to have perfect sleep. There is no such thing. There are so many reasons. It could be that on one particular day, you just happen to wake up out of REM sleep, which would be, or deep sleep, which made you feel worse. It could be that you did more exercise the day before and there was more muscle repair going on, and therefore it just made you feel a bit groggy. It could be that there was a noise in the night that you don't remember that actually woke you out of REM into another stage of sleep. And although you won't remember that, in the morning, you just feel like you are a bit more knackered than usual. There's just too many reasons to be too worried about it. The only time I start telling people, okay, we need to sort this out, is if they've had a consistent problem for 3 months in a row for more than 5 days a week. That's when I would say, okay, we need to sort that out for you. But I always err on the side of caution, because I think people think there's something wrong when there isn't. And actually, they just need to concentrate on their daytime and having a really fulfilling, happy, healthy day, and not worry so much about the sleep and not blame it for so much. Like you said earlier, sleep is a very personal thing. And when we can't do it, it's horrible. And it makes you feel like you are away from society. You're not living your own life anymore. You become a complete like ghost in your own life. And that's horrible. But, you know, there's only so much we can do to control it. And so I wish people saw sleep as this amazing thing that we get to do every day that keeps us alive So regardless of how healthy or unhealthy your sleep is, you're still here. So it can't be that bad. And to cherish it rather than blame it for everything and get angry and frustrated and put more pressure on yourself, which then makes your sleep worse.
I think it's so important to talk about as well, because you don't hear about it as much as you probably should, because it is a part of your health, isn't it? And I don't think if I'd have talked to you today that my dad would have thought any more into his issue. I think I'd be stressing about why I'm feeling tired in the morning. I think it's really important. I think it's great that you offer, you know, information and a remedy effectively for these issues.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful area to be in, because obviously you meet so many different types of people because everybody has to sleep. So it's fascinating. But yeah, you're right. I find I make it more equivalent to talking about the weather, because all English people love talking about the weather, but the next best thing they love to chat about is how they slept. It's really interesting, especially when you're at a dinner party.
No, definitely. I think it's great to talk about it. I could talk all day, honestly. I've got so many questions that I'd love to know, but I will go to your website and I'll do some research and I will refer my dad to you as well.
Thank you.
Spreading the word, Stephanie, you can see, absolutely critical. You know, that's why we've missed you on this whole sort of sequence. Uh-huh. And you're back there. Exeter saving the world through the persona of Stephanie Romoshevsky. Absolutely wonderful. Let's see. Actually, up next, we're speaking to DJ Luck and MC Neat. Two people I never thought I'd actually be welcoming to the Midweek Drive, but they're going to be talking about how they're concerned about musicians and how, even though they've been still doing raves, albeit virtual raves, that's been a whole new world. So it's the opposite end of sleep in many ways, Stephanie. You know, moving on to the musicians and rave and various other things right the way through to sleep and such like. So great stuff there. However, it's important, and I know you, Stephanie, you're keen to actually ensure that the generations are maintained. So, Rebecca, would you like to put those last two questions to Stephanie? She knows what they are, but I'll warn you, she can sometimes actually slip in a very strange reply.
Stephanie, have you had an enjoyable Zoom with us this morning?
Yes, it's been lovely.
Oh, wonderful. Can we welcome you back in the near future?
Yes, of course.
And we'd love to. It's been so interesting. I'd love talking to you about it.
Excellent. So, Stuffy, huge thanks. Also, let's give a little shout out to Emma, your new personal assistant. I think she deserves a shout out because she's been stressed in all sorts of ways. So there we are. You can give her a shout out as well. Marvellous. Stephanie Romoshevsky, huge thanks. Sleepyhead.co.uk, presumably the best place to go to once again to find out details.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Happy trails. And looking ahead as we continue our march through Lent, soon we'll be celebrating International Tooth Fairy Day. So International Tooth Fairy Day, obviously critical if you're looking at sleep as well. Stephanie, take care.
Okay.
With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. With a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night. We done the first fight. We done 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 first fight.
I need you to jump it with the rhythm and the rhyme. I need you to jump it with the bad bass line. Bad bass line. Bad bass line. Bad bass. Bad bass. Bad bass line. Holla with the rinsing sound, holla with the rinsing sound, holla with the rinsing sound, holla with the mixing sound, holla with the rinsing 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 sound, holla with the mixing sound, holla with the rinsing sound, holla with the mixing sound.
Keep Music Live, that's the banner that we've been using on Siren Radio over the last few years, and certainly the last year has been particularly challenging with respect to that. And we featured lots of musicians, and we've had lots of stories in terms of how people have used all sorts of things, ranging from Zoom, ranging from all manner of social networking things to actually keep the energy going. However, we still need help, and a YouGov survey has actually revealed that actually many people would actually say that not only do they need music for their mental health, but they also actually think that the government should really start supporting the music industry much more solidly. Now, to address this, we are absolutely delighted beyond compare to welcome two of the most awesome guys ever in terms of the music industry, because with a little bit of luck, I mean, I just can't start having it, with a little bit of luck, it's the awesome DJ Luck and MC Neat. Welcome, guys, to the Midweek Drive.
Hi.
Welcome, Thanks for having us.
Excellent. Now, you're very much, you know, top of the range, you produce some awesome stuff, etc. But how have you guys coped during this complete ban on live music and social distancing and so on?
Well, like everyone else, we're finding it difficult, but it's just trying to do whatever we can find to do. It's more of a mental thing, and that's getting specifically me, I guess, down, and I suppose Neat as well, and all of us, is doing things where, again, you've just taken our job from us. You've just taken the carpet, no job, no help, no nothing, no recognition for what we've done for however many years, for all our lives, and everyone who else is in the entertainment industry, in whichever, whatever they're doing. And it's kind of a bit gutting. It's kind of a bit like, you feel like, all right, certain people are getting help and they're helping certain businesses, but it seems like we've been forgotten about. And everyone in the entertainment industry do so much for this country. You don't realize how many people come from other countries to come to a certain club, to come to listen to a certain DJ, to come to the West End to go to listen to a play, a theater. There's so much involved that it kind of seems hasn't been spoken about. We get a little mention every now and then, but I believe if nothing's done soon to help the industry, there will be no industry. There will be no clubs left, because the clubs will go out of business, will have nowhere to play. And I just think it's something more serious than they realise, the government realise, and they really need to take a check on what's going on right now, because if they don't do it now, they're going to regret it.
As we've said, technology has actually helped to a certain extent. I mean, what we're doing now is great, because back in the day, we would have been in different studios using a phone line, and here we are, we can see each other, which is great. But having said that, as we know, when you've got bands playing together, or indeed mixing, etc., you haven't quite got the sync sorted out. You haven't got the sort of the notion of getting total synchronization sorted. So clearly we need music. Britain, as you've rightly said, is a cultural leader in this. It's almost as though there's a kind of line that says, we don't need it anymore. But once it's gone, exactly. It's gone, presumably.
Exactly. Once it's gone, it's gone. You won't be able to just, well, it's gone for a couple of years, let's try and build it back. The clubs won't be there. The DJs, again, you're making certain DJs might be able to hold out. I mean, but there's up-and-coming artists that could have come up in the last year or so that we would have been listening to, that we've missed out on, that now they've had to go to another job, you know, they haven't had that opportunity where, say, the two of us have been just about holding on, doing a gig, doing a live stream here, a live stream there, and just trying to sort of just hang on that the back of it, and just try and ride through this, what's going on. So yeah, it's definitely something to worry about.
Let's talk about something slightly differently, but we already mentioned it, okay, which is the mental impact that this has on people. Now, music is a fantastic healing area. We need music, you know, during lockdown, probably more than ever. And certainly that live music impact can have huge healing impacts across the globe from that point of view. Can you just share with us how you have actually kind of gone through these challenges? Because I would have thought, you know, actually coping with this situation where suddenly, as you said, your whole livelihood or the live music thing is taken away, it's not great.
I mean, if I'm honest, there's a YouGov survey commissioned by Crypto Ward Studios, what's found that 68% of adults, their mental health is far worse now than pre-COVID. So I can't even say post-COVID because we're still in it. You see what I'm saying? But it goes to show, you know, that's just from 2,000 people. It goes to show that it's a, and there's 7.8 billion of us on this planet. So there's a lot of people who music has gotten through so many situations. I personally have done like a live shout thing to an individual who was going through a lot of mental stress, you know, and was asked to do a support. It's a message of support to say, coming from someone, like, she's a fan of our music, and done like a message of support in that kind of case. So it's taking its toll on not just the hospitality industry, it's taking its toll on life. You know what I'm saying? And we understand there's a pandemic going on, and it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. But it's a case of, we've got to remember at the time, that at this present time, that the mental side of it is huge. It's not something you can, there's physical sickness and then there's mental unwellness, which is massive.
You need balance. You need both balance. To actually sort of be in keeping, to actually get the thing together. And I'm thinking, you know, somebody might be saying, well, you know, footballers are managing to actually put on shows between, obviously, without any members of the stadium, etc. But presumably that's just the elite footballers. I mean, from you guys, you could probably put on a show, in essence, and actually do that in a socially distant way, etc. But that doesn't take away from, as you said, the hospitality industry, the live music, going down to, I mean, Brixton, any other place, etc., seeing venues and so on, and kind of engaging with that whole process.
Yeah, well, basically, yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, we've done online. We headlined a show in Australia, but we were in North London. Yeah. So we were in there, the studio, massive screen, and they were 500 of them just raving as normal, just how we used to know it back in 2019. Yeah, they were just raving as normal. And we were looking at
them. They could see us on the screen. There was a big screen in the club.
Yeah.
And I mean, that maybe that's a bit of the future. So, I mean, that might, like you're saying, the technology, where we sometimes can't get to certain raves. Well, people will try and book us. We'll say, well, we're booked up today. We'll say, but, well, actually, you know what? If you want to do a live feed, let's say, like you said, we're in Brixton. We'll live feed at the because everyone always wants to, 12 till ones, the 1 till 2s, the 2 till 3s, the prime time things. And okay, there are other times, but they're the prime times. So everyone's always fighting over the prime times. You can't always give everyone the prime time slot. But now, I guess now what we found that, okay, and there's also certain places that are a lot smaller that maybe only hold 100 people that might not be able to afford certain artists, yeah, that they would never have that. But now they can. Obviously, they're not going to have to pay that much because they just got to stick a screen up and feed through our feed, and we're in their pub or we're in their club.
We need a virtual hologram versions of DJ Luck and MC Nietzsche. You know, that's what the world needs. Yes. Clearly,
yeah. But to be fair, I prefer to be there personally.
Finally, guys. I mean, do you think that there are green shoots of recovery? I mean, I hate that phrase, but I mean, do you think that actually with the vaccine, with other things coming through, with actually doing this interviews like this and working through the process, that actually, yeah, come 2022, maybe, you know, things will actually start getting back to what we would consider to be a healthy environment?
Yeah, but like you just said there, that number, come 2022, you think about it, we've just started 2021. By 2022, what business, festival, pub, restaurant, hotel, who is left in business to have 2022? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, by then, that is, I mean, many have gone under now. You know, by then, that could be it.
But hopingly it won't be.
Yeah,
deep down.
It's like the good cop, bad cop here. We've got sort of the negative and the positive. No, half full, the half empty.
He's
genius.
Having a bad day, that's why. But no, I think we both believe deep down, yes, obviously, I think a lot of it, I think there's a lot of anger. I know, I'll just say, I think I'm a bit angry as well about, not only for me, but speaking for everyone in the entertainment industry. I mean, I'm fed up of watching the news. I'm fed up. I feel every time I watch the news, it's just depressing. There's nothing positive, you know? I mean, like there was something positive the other day. And someone said, oh, it's probably just fake news because it's always rubbish. So, but you know, I mean, it's got to that stage where people, I don't even want to watch the news, you know. Mm. I just want to see what pans out. And in my heart, I can only see what's going on. And I think, but like Neat said, hopefully you might see by the end of this year, you might see a few, they might open and you might be able to do a few little social distancing things like we was doing before, like a couple of hundred, or you're allowed to sit six to a table and something like that, which is kind of pathetic anyway, because when they was doing the six to the table, so you'd have six people on a table, social distancing, but they weren't allowed to dance. So you're having us DJing, they after a drink, you want to get up, you physically just want to get up and dance, and you're getting told by the bouncers, you've got to sit down, because if they come in, if the police come in, they're going to get a 10 grand fine. So yeah. I don't know. I'm going to be positive about it and say, yes, please God, everything's going to be all right, because I think that's the best way to look at it.
Let's just say, with a little luck, there won't be any stopping you. You know,
there you go.
I did that. Ain't no stopping us. A little luck. Exactly. Both in from that sort of view.
You'll be practicing that all week.
Guys, it's been amazing sharing some time with yourself today. Can people reach you via the socials and the usual sort of things? Just share with us the best way to go to actually stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah, well, we've got on our Instagram, there's Like a Neat Official, MC Neat Official, Twitter, Facebook. Also, there's www.cryptorewardstudio.com. All the info and
it's
everything
all there. Fantastic.
It's all there, yeah. Whatever you need is all there.
We will continue doing this. It's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with you guys today. Absolute delight. Hopefully you'll come back sometime. Maybe we might actually meet in person. I don't know. All great stuff.
Definitely. Thanks
DJ Luck and MC Neat. The sound of 1999, but very relevant for 2021. Keep on keeping on and speak soon.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Well, it's here. It has arrived, and indeed such excitement personified when Disney Plus have actually got a whole new stream to work through. And this is one of the reasons why, of course, the Radio Times has been involved with getting a whole survey together and addressing our nation's viewing habits and such like. And who better to actually address this than somebody who we've said in the past is the best film critic person par none. She's got a best podcast series. She's awesome. It's the wonderful Edith Bowman. How are you, Edith?
Oh, I'm great, Alex. Thank you so much. It's very kind of you. Thanks for having me.
Always good to connect with a good self. And of course, using technology, we can actually see each other, which is even more wonderful. So that's great.
Yes.
So share with us, Edith. I mean, some of the sort of guilty pleasures here. I see The X-Files. I see Lost, actually mentioned in there. Desperate Housewives, of course. They're all in from that point of view. Personally, I just can't get past WandaVision these days, but that's already on Disney. So whatever.
Well, it's great because the survey was done to kind of to coincide with the launch of this fantastic new service that Disney Plus are launching, which is called Star. And the idea is that, you know, this survey kind of reveals what we thought really with regards to our viewing habits, and particularly over the last year, you know, in terms of with lockdowns. We're watching more telly, we're watching more films. And it's really interesting in terms of what we are. A huge percentage of people are almost kind of gearing towards trying to look at historical titles, you know, whether it's a nostalgic thing or whether it's a memory thing or going back to a time, you know, where they were maybe a bit more freedom of being able to do what we wanted to do as a nation. But it's incredible that you know Disney Plus are launching this now, because there's a combination of all these wonderful historical titles as well as their commitment to original and new material as well. But I mean, you look at the sort of breadth of TV available that's going to be on there, and also film. For me, it's, you know, Wes Anderson, most of his back catalogue is going to be on there, like Rushmore and Grand Budapest Hotel, all that kind of stuff as well. TV wise, yeah, I mean, I'm totally there with you with the WandaVision, and we were addicted to Mandalorian. But in terms of things like Golden Girls, I loved the Golden Girls, and every episode of the Golden Girls is going to be up on Star on Disney Plus. So that's going to be me. X-Files as well, I really want to sit and watch that with my oldest Rudy, you know, from the start, almost like go back and start that again with him. And that's the nice thing as well for us, is, you know, if you're parents, you can take your kids back and do that journey again with them through so many of these wonderful productions.
Of course, Edith, there is that line that where there is choice, there is misery. Do you think there's too much choice? Are we going to be amusing ourselves to death with all this material that's actually there?
Well, I don't think you'd ever have too much choice, but I think that what I found really great within this lockdown is that because there's not been the regular weekly release of new films within the cinema, there's been a great constant release of fantastic new films, and you see that in the nominations for BAFTAs and Golden Globes and things. But it has given a little bit more time to remind ourselves of all those fantastic films and TV shows that you normally wouldn't have had the time or the kind of brain capacity to go and either revisit or for the first time, you know. So that's what I think. And for me, you know, having my podcast soundtracking, this is an amazing research tool for me. You know, for example, if I'm going to go back to Wes Anderson's podcast, I have all his films at the touch of a button to go and watch. So it's just expanding our library of opportunity, I think, in terms of what we can escape to.
And of course, back in the day, Radio Times just used to be the Bible for the BBC. It's become multi-channel. It's taken a whole range of things there. It's almost unrecognisable from 100 years ago, Edith. Not that you were around then, but what the hey?
Well, I think that it's one of those things that, you know, our every Christmas, it's always our kind of our Bible of viewing in a way, you know, in terms of we always have that Christmas edition that we all flick through and highlight and fold pages on things of what we're going to watch when. And I think that it's great that there is something still like the Radio Times, but like you say, that has moved with the times and that really incorporates the wealth of options that there are out there, because it's not all about terrestrial channels anymore. It's much more than that. It's much more about giving the viewer the choice and the control, really.
Absolutely. Well, I was just talking with my students before we actually came on to this little call about the series Lost, where you have people actually standing by the computers desperately typing in registration codes to make sure the thing there, otherwise the island will blow up. So we're kind of living that whole dream in many ways. But that's by the way. Edith, where can people go to find out further information? Would it be radiotimes.com?
Yeah, I think that all the information with regards to the survey will be up on Radio Times online, but also with regards to all the stuff that you can access via Star and Disney Plus. It's launching tomorrow, so it's going to be up there if you're an existing subscriber. And if you're a new subscriber, then you've got this amazing kind of almost brilliant collection of, you know, your Marvels, your Star Wars, your Disney, your Pixar, and now Star added into that Disney family as well up there as well. So
it's got soul. That's the important thing, to use a Pixar line. It's got soul. Yeah. Moving on, of course, we'd obviously recommend people to check out your podcasts because they're absolutely awesome. The Edith Bowman podcast, well worth accessing from that point of view. Got to ask the question. You mentioned the Golden Girls. Do you have a particular episode of The X-Files which you think, oh, that's great? My favourite episode of The X-Files is the postmodern Prometheus. I just think it's great. Any one from yourself?
I haven't watched it in so long, I can't remember the specific.
So you've got to also rediscover again, which is even more wonderful.
Exactly, with my kids, which is just absolutely wonderful and a lovely thing to look forward to.
Well, Edith, quite clearly, the truth will always be out there and we want to believe, so that's always important. Two final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Yeah, it's been lovely, and it's always nicer when you get to see people's faces. So I think that's kind of weirdly one of the nice things out of this situation that we find ourselves, and we now have this new technology or these new platforms that allow us to do that. So yeah, it's been lovely to see you as well as get to chat to you.
Well, then the next critical question, Edith, is can we prevail upon you to join us again? Will you come back in the not too distant future and actually keep us appraised of matters, movie and otherwise?
Whenever you need me, I am here.
Just hey! Edith Bowman, we salute you. Take care now.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. Stay safe.
Well, there we are then. The Prime Minister's made his announcement. We've got a roadmap out of systems. And by midsummer's time, June, mid-June, everything will be back to normal. Or will it? This is the key thing that we need to ask, because obviously there is a kind of unspoken suggestion that actually after yesterday's announcement, everything will be business as usual and we'll forget all about this pandemic and businesses will go on to growth and all the rest of its pieces. Well, maybe not. Maybe we need to actually think a bit more about how small businesses in particular can actually address this issue. Admittedly, some have actually done quite well recently, but who better to actually talk about maybe some of the lines in which we need to approach the easing out of lockdown and indeed the abandonment of all lockdown systems. Who better than entrepreneur, investor, advisor, speaker and general all-round wonderful soul, Piers Linney. How are you, Piers?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for the intro.
Excellent. Well, I mean, Piers, again, on the one level, you look at the praise for the press today, you look at the Prime Minister's text, his speech, you listen to what he's actually saying, and you think, well, what's the problem? We're just, you know, a few more months and that's it. We're back to normal.
Yeah, so I don't think we're going to return to some kind of normality. I think normal has changed, and that's whether it's your social life or, you know, the ability to, you know, meet your loved ones. But I think if we're talking about business, then we're not going to go back to business as usual as it was. Things have changed. You know, it's been difficult for some sectors, but in other ways, what we've seen COVID really been is it's been an accelerant, especially in terms of technology and the way in which businesses need to embrace it, because the ones that have done, or had done, and have done since, are the ones that have, you know, survived or done better, or at least, you know, reduced the impact of COVID.
Yeah, I mean, certainly looking at the local ness of businesses, etc., there has clearly been an improvement with respect to that. But this particular survey by Vodafone does suggest that 84% of small businesses, so pretty much approaching the full 100% figure there, are all keen to do more digital marketing. And is it a case of that digital marketplace that's going to be the key thing in terms of ensuring that people and businesses can not only survive but also thrive in the post-pandemic environment?
Well, it's the whole thing, really. So this research by Vodafone, they found 84% are going to do more digital marketing. 77% are going to realize that they've got to beef up their digital or cyber security, as it's often called. 76%, and we're all aware of this, are going to want to facilitate remote working, because I think that has absolutely changed. And that's a good thing, because it means you can access more talent wherever they are. You don't have to commute to some office that the boss happened, because he happened to, or she happened to, like the neighborhood. And, you know, 71%, I think this is the big one as well, they want to increase their online sales. So, you know, reach customers in new ways. I think for small businesses, that there's some positive that's come out of this in terms of change. I think also big businesses, you know, like Vodafone, what they have to do and what they are doing actually is they're kind of helping in a way, you know, by offering, you know, free broadband, or they've got a shout out campaign to provide digital marketing. And when that's what 84% of small businesses want, then, you know, that's a good thing. So my advice is reach out and take all the help you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking about help, 5 days before school children go back in England, at least, and across the UK in general, the Chancellor, of course, so the Exchequer, does his sort of homework and has actually sort of presents his homework, shall we say, to the nation with his budget. What are you expecting Rishi Sunak to actually deliver? Or indeed, what are you hoping that he's going to deliver to ensure that we're not sort of crippled before we even start in terms of small businesses?
It's a very complicated picture, actually, because we don't really know what the real impact has been. So we're talking, you know, double dip recessions. I think, you know, if you're a small business, what you need to understand is, yes, that the pandemic hopefully is coming to an end, but, you know, we're looking at potentially, you know, a recession, or at least a difficult period, where the big unknown really is the impact on, you know, disposable incomes, because we don't, have people been saving, haven't been able to spend, or have they had a hit to their incomes? So I think that's going to play out. What I don't want to see is in any way the incentive or support for small businesses be in any way sort of depressed or reduced. And I think that goes to helping the top line and also helping investment as well. So I think that's the big thing, is that, you know, small businesses are the backbone of our economy. You hear this a lot, but it's absolutely true. There's 5.7 million. This is small businesses below sort of 10 employees even. They hire and they account for 60% of private sector employment. And, you know, we're talking about livelihoods, dreams, aspirations. And this is how we get back as well. We've got Brexit too, the potential impact there, we don't know. So it's important that small businesses are supported, that the red tape's reduced, that costs are reduced. We've got to look at the rate system, and that we don't see any sort of hit to the incentives for investors like myself to invest in small companies. And I won't get too technical, but lots of tax schemes that are very, very helpful for investors and small companies. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they won't be hit.
Now, you mentioned, of course, the B word there, and I think it's fair to say that although, yes, it has happened, Brexit has taken place and so on and so forth, and there isn't any turning back as far as we can see with respect to that. But do you think that actually the COVID-19 scenario has kind of almost acted as a smokescreen in ways, because people have just been thinking about surviving and not really been thinking about all of the challenges that are being faced with in terms of exports, imports and so on?
Listen, I was no big fan of Brexit. But you are where you are, and entrepreneurs, you know, you don't stop doing what you want to do because it's raining. You just get on with it. So, you know, we are where we are, and there is, you know, potentially a bit of a perfect storm in terms of, you know, pandemic, a recession, and I've been involved in businesses that have seen a lot more red tape in Brexit. But, you know, it's about the long term. You're looking at 3 to 4, 5, even 10 years out, then, you know, water will find its level and business will start to move again. So, you know, I just think you need to sort of get on with it. But hopefully, you know, most businesses now are beginning to understand what the new landscape looks like and are adjusting to it, especially small businesses, because that's what they do. You know, they're nimble, they're agile, and they make things happen quickly. You know, larger companies struggle, but larger companies can do their bit to help small businesses.
Now, Piers, you've got a professional background in law, investment banking, fund management, and so on. You actually sort of have to your credit with Dragon's Den. You invested in the world's fastest growing company in TechTrack back in 2017. Seems such a long time ago now, basked in all sorts of things. But what, I mean, in terms of gut feeling, Do you think that actually the UK economy in particular will begin to bounce back after lockdown is actually over? I mean, the thing that we started this piece with in terms of the roadmap to recovery, lockdown no more, do you think that actually there is going to be a sense of that? Or is it going to be, as we said at the start, it'll change and certainly we'll never get back to where we used to be? Because what we're doing now, actually, interviews over Zoom, etc., is just one example of how people have had to adapt to the digital environment.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever go back to where we were, which is probably a good thing, because progress is a good thing. And we're going to see things change even more rapidly. And we're moving from this sort of linear world where we understood what the next 3, 4, 10, 5, 10 years look like to an age where we don't actually, because things are changing very, very quickly. So the key thing really is to absolutely embrace that, embrace technology, embrace the fact you can reach customers in new ways. And look at your business and say, well, what, how can I, you know, save costs? How can I, you know, improve my top line, increase my income or my dividend or whatever it is, or build a business and sell it? So I think the opportunity is there. The UK is in a great place. It's important that we understand that we've got to find our new way in the world, because we are in a slightly different position. But, you know, being the entrepreneur and being positive about it, I think eventually we'll find our place. And, you know, the UK and our entrepreneurs and our small business owners, they are innovators, and we will succeed.
Excellent. It's that sort of positivity that will enable us to think bigger and actually grow into all sorts of things. So whatever we can conceive, we can achieve, to put that into place. I'd obviously plug piersliney.com as a wonderful go-to website. But for people who are actually interested, Piers, in actually finding out more about this Vodafone survey, where would you point them?
Yeah, so, you know, Vodafone, big company doing their bit. If you Google Vodafone 12-month free broadband, so they're actually giving away broadband for 12 months for small businesses. And also the shout out for small business, if you Google that, you'll be able to enter this competition to get some sort of help in your digital marketing. So all the information's there. Just Google it. And then also they've got a VHub as well, which is it's like a resource. It's got free guidance for small businesses. So visit VHub as well and have a look there. See if there's any information that can support you.
Fantastic. Piers Liney, huge thanks indeed. Entrepreneur extraordinaire, many thanks. And keep on keeping on, Piers.
Thank you very much.